Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. We are in the midst of the basketball season. Of course, there's all different types of basketball. There's high school basketball. There's the NBA. And then there's college basketball. And we have with us today a guy who has made his mark in college basketball, and he's going to get a great reward for it. His name is Bruce Parkinson, and he is out of the Purdue era of the 1970s. Now, Bruce Parkinson came out of Yorktown High School in 1972, and that's not a real huge high school, but he was an Indiana All-Star, and he's going to go into the Purdue Athletics Hall of Fame coming up very soon. He was a four-year starter at Purdue from 1973 to 1977. He still holds school records for assists in a game. He had 18 once against Minnesota. That was back on March the 8th, 1975. By the way, that is the second most assists in Big Ten history. And he did a tremendous job there as far as assists go. His career total ranks eighth in the Big Ten. He had 1,224 points, 14 double-doubles, and go on and on. The Boilermakers were the 1974 NIT champs, and that's where they got. And they played in the 1977 NCAA tournament. And he was also captain of the 1975 United States gold medal team that won the Pan American Games down in Mexico City. So those are just a few things about Bruce Parkinson. And most of all, though, I had the chance to sit with Bruce. Actually, Bruce came and we sat together in my living room and did this interview a couple of years ago. And what a wonderful guy, and a guy who really has allowed Jesus Christ to work in his life. He's a wonderful testimony to what Jesus Christ can do and how Jesus Christ can change our lives. And that's why we have him on Face-to-Face. So if you're a Purdue Boilermaker fan, particularly if you're a Purdue Boilermaker fan that's been around for a while, and you remember the Big Ten days, the big battles between Purdue and Indiana back in those days, you'll remember Bruce Parkinson. You'll enjoy this interview. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Bruce Parkinson of the Purdue Boilermakers. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Face-to-Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today. And today we're going to talk some basketball with a guy that's had quite a successful time in the past. Bruce Parkinson is our guest. Purdue fans will recognize him as one of the top basketball players from Purdue in the 1970s. Bruce, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Thanks, Tom.
You played for the Boilers from what, 1972 to 76, is that correct?
Actually, it was 77. I broke my wrist my first senior year, second game of the year out at Madison Square Garden, and I redshirted. So I came back for a second senior. So I was actually there 5 years undergrad and one more in grad school.
You played at a time with names that Purdue fans will easily recognize, guys like Walter Jordan, Joe Barry Carroll, Eugene Parker, who just recently passed away, by the way, Jerry Seasting, Frank Kendrick, all those guys. What was the atmosphere like during that time? It had to be fantastic playing with those guys and playing at Purdue.
It was, there's some really talent. One that you did mention was John Garrett, who was our starting center. And mm-hmm. Most of my assists went to some guys you just, Garrett and Kendrick and Walter Jordan got a lot of shots. I've stayed pretty close to them. But Fred Schaus was our coach. And so legendary basketball guy that coached West Virginia with Jerry West and Hot Rod Hundley. And then he had the Lakers coach. Then he was general manager. And then he came back. So, and those were the days where only the champion of the league went to the NCAA. So, you had to win the league. And Indiana, you know, their legendary team, best team ever, I think, in college basketball. Michigan was really good at that point. And my freshman year, Minnesota, Behagen, Brewer, those guys sent four guys to the pros. So we had a really good team. But we played at some really at the top of the Big Ten, whereas at the bottom of the Big Ten at that time, there were not so great coaches, not so great facilities, and that's not the case anymore. So we had a very good team, had a great run, but unfortunately for us, we played at the same time that when I came in at Purdue, Quinn Buckner, Scott May, Bobby Wilkerson, Benson was there then. So it was some unbelievable talent that we played against.
I want to take you to a game I know you're going to remember. February 16th, 1976, Indiana University had an unbeaten season that year, and you guys almost had them, and you had the ball with the end of the game, and I think possibly you put up the last shot that if it would have gone in, you might have actually knocked off the top Indiana team. You guys were that close. Do you remember that game?
Well, if it was 76, that would have been, it must have been a different year. Or it wasn't me, because 76 was a year that I would have had a broken wrist.
Oh, okay.
And that was the year they were undefeated and won the NCAA championship. That could have been Kyle Macy, could have been Eugene Parker, or Seasting.
Okay.
But my best game ever in college was at IU, but it was my sophomore year. And I had 25 and probably... I think I had 9 rebounds and 7 assists. And that doggone friend of yours, Laz, I had stolen the ball, put us up by 1. This is at Bloomington. And with about 7 or 8 seconds left, they came down to the other end. Art White, legendary official that we all thought was an IU favored official, called a foul on Bruce Rose, who was guarding Laz with about 2 seconds to go. Laz went and stepped up, made both free throws, and beat us. And that was easily my best game ever. And Laz and I, when we play golf or see each other, inevitably that will come up. But
I was going to mention, now I'll tell you where I got this. Indianapolis Monthly Magazine did a story in September 2015 that I just found recently, where it said the two shots that were missed were, one was yours and one was Seasting's. But I think the reporter might have had his facts wrong
That one. 76, it would
have been. Talking about the fact that Purdue came very close to winning that mm-hmm. game against IU. Now, you've done some things that were really amazing. You've been at the top of your game and done a lot of different things. For instance, 1975, I believe you were the captain of the USA gold medal team at the Pan Am Games. That had to be really interesting. Who was on that team, and what was that experience like?
Well, that was going into between my junior and senior year, first senior year before I broke my wrist. Robert Parrish was our starting center, mm-hmm. one of the all-time greats ever in history. I mean, he's voted top 50 players. He was our starting center and captain. Ernie Grunfeld, general manager now for, I think, the Bucks or the Knicks, so it was one of the players at Joe Hassett, another guy, Tree Rollins. But I actually played on two teams that year. One in the summer was Intercontinental Cup team that was a U.S. team, and then most of those guys played on the Pan Am team. Rick Roby from Kentucky, mm-hmm. somebody who was kind of a thorn in Indiana's side for a while. But, I mean, it was one and only time I had a chance to represent our country, and you hear that all the time in Olympic or Pan Am type of events, and we won a gold medal in Mexico City, and it was, I mean, what an honor. And I mean, every day practice, Johnny Davis was a really legendary guard, Otis Birdsong. I was playing against those guys every day in practice, and it was the hardest and, you know, developed me more than any other thing I'd ever done.
Now, let's go back to your high school a little bit, because that was a very interesting time. You played for Yorktown High School, a small school, and you guys did pretty good. Tell me a little bit about what you remember about Yorktown High School.
Well, we had a great coach, number one. I think whenever you have a team that's successful, he was a really, really good high school coach that taught defense. And a lot of the principles that he had watched Coach Knight at IU teach. And we were a small school. We were in the Muncie sectional. My greatest thrill in sports was we upset Muncie Central in the finals of the Muncie sectional to be the first county team ever to win the sectional.
And this is 1972?
This is 1972. I ended up with, that night, I had 36. I was 16 out of 16 from the free throw line. I did miss one, but the referee said their player stepped over the line. I got to shoot it again. It was the best I've ever played. You hear about getting in the zone, and it only happens three or four times ever in your lifetime. Actually, that IU game that I mentioned and this game were the two that I played as good as I could possibly play. And it's not very often that you have a chance to do something that no one else has been able to do. So that was and that team went on to beat Kent Benson and Newcastle in the first game of the regional the next week. And then our kind of Cinderella story ran out of gas against Richmond, and we got beat in the finals of the regional.
Days of one-class basketball in Indiana and kind of your own version of Hoosiers there, which is very, very important. Our guest is Bruce Parkinson, former player from Purdue, also a great player in Indiana. He's in the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we're going to take a break and be back. So don't go away. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. If you're a Purdue fan, you probably are hearing these stories and recognizing some of them and knowing that we are talking to one of the Purdue greats, Bruce Parkinson. Bruce, it's a three-generation family that has had success at basketball. And I read about your dad. Your dad, Jack Parkinson, played for Kentucky, I believe, played for Adolph Rupp. What did stories did he have playing for Adolph Rupp? What's a memory about him?
Well, as it turned out, he was All-American his junior year. But what a lot of people don't know is, you know, you think at that time he was the John Wooden of his day.
Right.
And he didn't have any scholarship offers. And his high school coach happened to have gone to Kentucky and knew someone down there. And they had to sell Coach Rupp on taking Dad. And Dad played, I mean, Yorktown was really small. He played center in high school. And of course, he had to play guard in the SEC. But he was legit. I mean, if you go down there and they have all their All-Americans, Dad was an All-American his junior year, and then he had to go to the service like many others at that time. So All-American 46, and we came back. That was when the Fab Five were there, the Olympians that they used to call them, Alex Groza and Wawa Jones and Ralph Beard and those guys that represent the Olympics, just that Kentucky team. So they won the NIT that year, which was the national championship in New York City at Madison Square Garden. They didn't have the NCAA tournament like they do now. They gave Rupp and the players a key to the city. And the story Dad always told is that Rupp was really, really tight with his money. And he gave them all a dollar after the game and told them to go out and enjoy themselves and celebrate the win. But I heard a lot about Kentucky. That was kind of the place when I was growing up, I kind of wanted to go. But they signed three or four Mr. Basketballs the year before I came out of high school. And I had a visit down there with Joby Hall was the coach then. But Mr. Rupp, when we were playing the Indiana All-Star game, we were warming up at Louisville, Freedom Hall. And I'm in the layup line, and some usher comes over and says, somebody wants to say hello to you. And I'm thinking, now I'm scared to death. I'm from Yorktown, and this was a big deal. And he says, no. I said, I can't do that. And he says, trust me, you're going to want to do this. And I walk over to the side, and it's Mr. Rupp, and he was very elderly at the time. And he said, son, your dad played for me, and I just wanted you to know that I was here to see you play.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was quite an honor. And then, of course, I was at Purdue. And then Austin, my oldest son, followed that up and played at Purdue. And it was some tough years. It was Coach Katie's last years of coaching. And it seemed like every year we beat Duke in the Greater Alaskan Shootout one year and lost the starting center for academic reasons going into the Big Ten at the semester, lost, I think, Kenny or one of the two or three starters. And Coach Katie's last years when Austin was there was kind of some tough times, but he had some devastating injuries that really impacted that. But Dad, of all three of us, was the real deal.
I know your faith is very, very important to me. Tell me a little bit about when Jesus Christ became a part of your life.
Yeah, and that's I was reflecting on that, thinking about our discussion today, and it goes back to Taylor University junior basketball camp. That at that year, there are a million camps now, but that was one of the only ones run by a legendary Christian University coach of Don Odle and Marion Crawley, legendary high school coach from Lafayette, Jeff. And we had devotions every evening. So camp was basketball day. I still remember we sat on the steps and had kind of a whatever the announcements were that evening. And we always sang, "How Great Thou Art." And then when we went back to the dorm, we had a devotion with our individual counselor. And I accepted Christ then as my personal Savior. I think it was in fourth grade at the time. And so, you know, having faith in sports for me is I've not known anything else. And it's been a wonderful mix that's guided my life. It's guided the life of my family and the kids and my wife. And in many ways, their strength has had an influence on me as well.
I know one of the things that you told me when we were talking before this is the importance of sharing Jesus Christ with your kids and praying for your kids. And you have a son now who's the Austin, who's the head women's coach at IUPUI, and so many stresses that go with that. Tell me what importance it is to be praying for your kids.
Well, probably, gosh, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago, we were sitting in church in Kokomo, and the pastor was talking about this importance of praying for your children. And there was a 3x5. We didn't know what it was going to be that day, but there was a 3x5 card in all of our seats. And after he was done and talked about why it was so important every day, little things, big things, etc., he asked us all to take a minute, meditate a bit, pray a bit, and what is it, and to write it down. And the prayer for my kids that I wrote down, it's in my Bible today, was praying that God would provide a Christian life mate for each of them. And, you know, his plan is always right. His timing is always right, but it's a lot of times it's not the timing that we're expecting. My youngest son is the most is a bit shy and introverted, and we always thought if he was going to get married, this girl's probably going to have to ask him. Austin's the more outgoing one, thought he'd be married right away, and it turned out to be just the opposite. But the rehearsal dinner for both weddings, when the father of the groom welcomes the families the night before the wedding, I pulled that out, and they, of course, Lizzie and Whitney had no idea that you know what that I'd been praying for virtually every day, and my wife the same, and we know that the two of them are God's gift to my two sons.
I know that you had a lot of honors, as we've said. One of those is being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2004. What does that honor mean to you?
Well, basketball in Indiana is pretty special, and it was even more special because my dad had been inducted. And, you know, I suspect there are a couple where fathers and sons have been inducted. I'm sure the Shepherds and people I'm not thinking about. But so on the one hand, that was really special. My family was there to support that, and there's, you know, there's just been some great some great athletes that have played the sport in Indiana, and to be recognized for that amongst a zillion that they could choose from, pretty special, and very fortunate to have the career that I did.
Basketball has changed a lot. Now, as you watch college basketball, even as you watch your son Austin coach the teams, but girls, women's college sports have grown. The culture of basketball seems to be so much different. What's your thoughts about college basketball today in relation to the way it was when you played?
Well, the tournament's one thing. Secondly is all the social media. We had none of that. I suspect we played probably one of my great thrills at Purdue. We played Indiana, Kent, my second senior year, Kent's senior year at IU. We happened to beat IU twice that year, once at Assembly Hall, and then John Wooden and Dick Enberg did a Sunday game. And I set the arena steals record that day. And I have probably my favorite sports picture was I had a towel around my neck and I was in between Mr. Enberg and Coach Wooden on the floor being interviewed after that game. So, you know, now all the games are on. So you don't do anything outside all your games are on TV, as we all know, but everything you do on campus is also there, and everybody is an expert, everybody second guesses, and we experience a little bit of that with Austin playing, and so the social media and the distractions there, it's a lot of different responsibilities. Today we're reading all about Johnny Manziel, and everything he does is public. And so the scrutiny of those, I never experienced that. Austin did a little bit, but today that's a heavy responsibility, and some handle that well and others don't. And I can tell you as a parent, when we were reading about it, if somebody was on Austin, when he was playing at Purdue for some reason, you'd go to those chat lines and it just break your heart. And in other cases, we were so excited when somebody would be, talking positive things about him. But the game also, shot clock, three-point line, neither of those were there when we were playing.
And the importance of a Christian influence on a team right now means so much, I think.
Yeah, and you have to be so careful anymore, it seems like, these days. And Austin and both of my sons have very, very strong faith, and both of for different things have influenced me upward as a young person can also influence others that are more mature than them. But Austin carries a different burden with he has anywhere from 13 to 15 girls and a staff, and he can be a wonderful Christian witness for those girls on a daily basis, and I'm proud of my kids for all kinds of things, but for the witness that they are in their whether it's Trent and his accounting firm or Austin at IUPUI, the Christian influence that they have on others is just been amazing. I'm really proud of them.
Our time is up. Spent some great time today. I appreciate all your thoughts. Let's close it out today. Give me your favorite verse of Scripture.
Well, it is 1 Timothy and 4th chapter. It's something that influenced me a great deal in my later high school years. And when I was young, I knew that I had a responsibility, that people were watching me play and perform. And it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I was trying to do that at that point in time, and have tried to do that since.
Bruce Parkinson, thanks for spending time with us. Good luck, and thank you again for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Bruce Parkinson, former Purdue player. We will take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Bruce Parkinson. I certainly did. And we also did an interview since then with his son, with Austin Parkinson, who has had a tremendous amount of success as a women's basketball coach at IUPUI. So his son's a Division I women's basketball coach. And you also heard that Bruce Parkinson's father played for Adolph Rupp down in Kentucky. So it's a three-generation family that has had a lot of success, and you don't see or hear a lot about that. But I hope you enjoyed the interview time that we did with Bruce Parkinson. I hope you'll check out our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. We have various things up there for you to check out, all of them pointing to one thing, and that is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and well in sports. And there's also an opportunity there if you'd like to make a donation to keep us on the air. We don't take federal money. We don't take state money. We don't even take a lot of church money. We have some. But mostly it's because people who are interested in face-to-face send their donations. So check out that donation button, and you can make a donation and keep face-to-face on the air and keep our website alive. Well, one of the things that we always do is to give you a verse that you can live by, and the verse that we have today, actually two verses, is one that is very close to my heart. In fact, it might be one of the verses that I think really keeps me going. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, the interesting thing is, I just, at my Sunday school class at our church, just taught a class out of a book called Be Anxious for Nothing. It's written by Max Lucado. Actually got it from the Billy Graham organization. And it went into great detail about how we can stay calm in our lives these days. In the midst of all the turmoil that's going on, we can stay calm because we have Jesus Christ in our lives, and He sends this spirit that, I like that word, transcends, goes above all understanding. So again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that's our verse for this week. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.